Regeneration is the action or process of being reformed, regrown, or created again, restoring lost or injured aspects of oneself. Join Josh and Kit each week as they discuss what it looks like to seek and to find Jesus in the areas of identity, intimacy, and sexuality. If you'd like to discover God's design for your life and how to live it out, this podcast is definitely for you.
Happy Lent, everybody. It's that favorite time of the year. We all gather and give up stuff and give away stuff and spend time praying. So we're talking about Lent because we're in Lent. Last week was Ash Wednesday, and now we're into the season of Lent. And I don't know what your Christian background is like. My Christian background, it was like people would talk about Lent on the side, but it was never a kind of a formal part of what people did. So I've learned more about Lent as an adult, and there are three common practices for people during Lent, and those include fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. And we're not going to talk in this podcast like, you know, let's talk about almsgiving and fasting. But we will talk about those, but we're going to talk just in general about Lent and why we think it's meaningful and maybe some things that God's stirring in us around this idea. And I don't mean to sound so chipper. I'm kind of making fun because I don't think most people think of like, hey, I'm so happy we're in Lent. But I have found that Lent is a meaningful time. So,
well, it can be, although what you're bringing back to my memory is when I was young, I grew up in a Catholic family, and every time Lent came around, I would give up candy. Mm-hmm. And every time, I would cheat.
Nice.
You know, so I'm laughing about it because it meant absolutely nothing to me. You know, now yeah. It does. But back as a kid, it was like it was something I had to do. And then I just was laughing at the fact that every single time I cheated, I'd go over to a neighbor's house and, you know, steal their lemon drops.
Yeah. And how would you feel when you cheated?
I don't think it bothered me.
You're just like, because it didn't mean anything.
It didn't mean anything. It really was just a thing. So, you know, that's what we're going to talk about today is how to not just have it be, you know, meaningless. How is it meaningful?
And I think the other mistake, so on one hand, it's meaningless. And so either as adults, you don't do it, or maybe if you kind of do it, but you're just going through the motions and you cheat. I think the other extreme, and this is maybe even more dangerous, is you do it because you think that somehow this is – you know, God wants this of you, and you're trying to earn something from God.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's, you know, right. or it's kind of a form of punishment from God because he's angry, and that is not what Lent is about. Yeah. Lent can be. I mean, some of these things can be an outward expression of repentance, of trying to position our hearts as to be contrite before the Lord. Mm-hmm. But
sacrifice in a meaningful, good way, not because you need punishment, but because your willing heart wants to give something back to God and acknowledge him and all he's done for us.
Yeah, to mm-hmm. open ourselves to him, to make some more room for him. So, Kit, I'm talking too much. So what are you doing this Lent? What's going on in your mind and heart? And have you made any decisions about how you want to do Lent this year?
Well, I've been, you know, really thinking about it and talking to people about it and reading things about it and feeling like, you know, I want to do something a little different, something meaningful, you know, asking God about it. And, you know, the thing that caught my attention was something that has in the past has been kind of a thing, like random acts of kindness. But I was reading about turning back to God in some significant way. What would that look like? Looking for opportunities to be reminded of God. And I thought about just trying to pay attention, whether it's in my home or at my work or with the neighborhood or in any situation I'm in, like just to look for ways to be kind in ways that maybe I would overlook. And so asking God, Lord, would you help me have eyes to see what you see and be willing to do it? And of course, this is a little tricky because I'm not going to want to announce it to everybody, although I just announced it to everybody. But so it's not – I struggled with that because I don't want to toot my own horn. I just want to be honest about the fact that that's what captured my heart. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about doing it. I'm excited about how God will I'll feel like I'll turn my heart a little bit more towards him in this season, and I'm longing for that. And I wasn't sure how to do that some fresh way. So – that's what I've been thinking about.
So let me ask you. So this would fall under the category perhaps of almsgiving, which is
– just learned about that from yesterday.
We don't use – I don't even think we have alms. Were alms a thing? Were they actual – is it a currency or something? Like what is alms?
I honestly don't know. We should find out. We should put it in the show notes when we research it.
For those interested. I don't know. If anybody knows, you just email us.
Yeah.
I got other things to do. So, but in general, almsgiving – almsgiving means like giving, I mean, practically it's like, it's giving money, it's giving resources to somebody in need, right?
So, yes,
so
that's
you're,
right.
So you said you were just reading about it and you're learning about it. So what, when you talk about that as a way to open yourself or to draw near to Jesus, what is, what do you mean? What?
Well, it's taking the focus off of me, which needs to happen because, you know, I think that can be a preoccupation is what do I need and what do I want? And really to just have eyes to see what God's seeing all the time and I miss. And just pay more attention to what's going on. How do I wake up to what's going on and how I might be kind or generous or something with somebody? Mm. It's like in centering prayer, I think it was Thomas Keating said, you know, we beat ourselves up because we're like our mind is just spinning, spinning, spinning. And he said, but don't worry about it. Your mind is going to go. But rather think about every time that you come back to your sacred word as an opportunity to come back to God. So this would be an opportunity for me to come back to God if I'm trying to be thoughtful and see the world more like he does, to see these things and to respond to these things.
And so when you talk about seeing or like part of your the exercise you're going to be walking through this Lent or you're going to be trying to do is practicing having eyes to see people mm-hmm. who might be in need.
Yeah.
And then not just seeing and kind of closing yourself off, but opening yourself to our God who is generous and who gives abundantly even when we don't deserve it, mm-hmm. and to step into that in some way to give to a practical need.
Yeah.
Wow, cool, Kit. And I won't tell anybody.
Okay, it's just our secret.
That's right.
What about you? What are you thinking about?
Well, so there was a long period of my life where I did not like devotionals at all. I just found like, you know, I didn't want to be constrained to a devotional. I felt like they were, you know, I don't need you to spoon feed me. I'm just going to read scripture. Mm. I think in the busyness of my life, I found recently, like it can be really helpful through a season like this to have a devotional.
Yeah.
So I just picked up a devotional. It's a kind of a meaty one by Bishop Robert Barron. He's a Catholic bishop whose teachings and just ability to kind of communicate philosophical things and engage culture really are profound to me. That's where I'm spending my time this year. And actually, it was, I think he was kind of who reminded me, oh yeah, almsgiving is a part of this too. Like I always just think about fasting. I think that was kind of, if I had one category for what you did during Lent, it was you give something up,
right?
Not you give something away or you pray. But part of what I've been thinking about, is about I'm stumbling here a little bit, but what those three things do, like why would they be a part of this journey for us? And what I think they have in common is that they each in their own way are an expression, fasting, almsgiving, prayer. They're each an expression of reaching through what is seen to what is unseen, putting our trust, like pushing our trust through what we can rely on, what we know, what we can see, what we can touch, and placing it into that category, that arena, that sphere where we can't see and we can't touch in quite the same way. So like just, you know, so we fast, meaning like I can see and touch and feel food when I'm hungry. That's one thing to do with my hunger. But when I fast, I reach through my physical hunger and I start to express, Lord, I'm hungry for you. I'm hungry for your spirit, for your righteousness, for the same kind of bread that Jesus had when he was hungry that he could tell his disciples, like, actually, I don't need the bread you just brought me because I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Like, what? Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
Almsgiving, I think, you know, I want to hold on to my stuff and I don't want to give it away. And when I give, I'm trusting that God who sees in secret is going to reward what I've done in secret. And that's a reaching beyond kind of, you know, visible math, you know, of like, you know, I earn what I have. I have, you know, I bought what I have is what I bought. Like, you know, it all makes sense kind of visibly.
Mm.
And then prayer, obviously. I mean, praying is in Jesus' words to his followers. Like, you know, when you pray, don't sit and announce it before everybody. Like, go into a secret place and your Father who hears in secret will respond to you. Mm. So it's kind of like, you know, where lust screams like, you know, reach for what you got. And lust is all about just the physical and it separates the spiritual from it. Like you don't see a person, you just see a body. You don't see a resource, you just see money. It's all me. Lent, for me this year, I want to practice like reaching through the veil and kind of saying, Lord, so the picture I have, and I'll shut up after this, but the picture I have is if a guy were to row out onto a deep lake in his rowboat and he's got this this bag of treasure with him. And the people on the shore watch him as he, like, you know, hoists his bag up over the side of the thing and just, you know, opens it up and dumps out all these gold coins and these goblets and all these jewels and just dumps them in the middle of the lake. People on the side would be like, what is he doing? And meanwhile, the guy in the boat is thinking, like, I know that there is an invisible investor who's receiving what I'm doing, and he's investing it, and it's going to produce much more than if I put it into any bank that these people on the shore see. Mm-hmm. So maybe the difference is there's nobody on the shore. This person's gone out in the dead of night so that nobody sees, and he's pouring it out. So he's not even getting the pat on the back for the good religious move. He is trusting that there's hands that see beyond. So
I loved when you were describing all of that, the word awaken, you know, came to me. Like it's an awakening of the fullness of God all around us and in us. And I also loved you when you were describing the secret, doing something secret with God, you know, and that building intimacy, like that builds intimacy. Like this is just for me and God.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
You know? Like, God and I are going to do this together. Nobody else is necessarily going to know, but this is going to be so great because God and I are going to do it together. It's going to be our thing. It's going to, you know, deepen our connectedness and our intimacy. So I love that picture.
Yeah, it's a secret that he and I are going to go do. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, those intimate moments when you kind of stare across the room at somebody who knows you well, and you both just got the inside joke, but nobody else did because you shared it just between you two. And so, yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Gosh. And I think that's my hope for Lent each year, my hope for my Christian life in general, but my hope for Lent, I think, is that there will be a deepening of my connection and my trust that the God who is unseen, the God who is in a very, very real way, who is a secret himself, you know, I mean, he has revealed himself, but there's so much about him that is quiet and invisible and secret. Not because he's a miser, but I mean, I don't even know all the reasons why, but my hope is that through Lent, doing some of these things, not to earn something from him, but just will help to cultivate and remind my own spirit, my own soul, my body, to reaffirm and reassert to my flesh and to the world around me, like that there is a God, and I do trust him more than this other stuff that I can see in my, you know, the way that I usually go in the world.
And, you know, to really embrace the idea that, you know, Lent is about remembering, you know, what Jesus did. And that's a remarkable thing. And so it's very sobering what he did. It's also, you know, when you think about Easter and resurrection, it's also very winsome and very, you know, just delightful to think about at the end of this. We don't want to skip over, you know, the horror and the pain, but we also know that there is light. And so this Lenten practice can awaken us. It can be both, you know, sobering and you know, paying attention to things that we don't normally do. And it can be winsome. It can be about building intimacy with Jesus and thanking him for all that he has done and is doing.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I think this is crazy, but I think it kind of escaped my mind that Lent is the road. It is a spiritual road that our spiritual forefathers and mothers for years and years and years have practiced, leading to Good Friday, the crucifixion, and Easter Sunday, the resurrection. And so it is a participating in the pouring out as a statement of love for others, for God, and with the trust that there is resurrection, what you've been sowing actually is going to produce a fruit unto eternal life.
Preparing. It's like a preparing, you know, our hearts for fully taking in what happened and fully taking in the outcome at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I mean, tell me about that because I – again, as a guy who did not grow up with Lent as a part of kind of a regular part of our spiritual life in our church, there wasn't much preparation. So, like, why prepare? Do we need to prepare? Like, it's not another 38 days or whatever. Like, do we really need to prepare?
Well, Stations of the Cross are a beautiful – that's another practice that I would love to do again. I've done in past years. And when you actually – walk through the Stations of the Cross, it allows you to experience what really happened. And it prepares your heart for the sacrifice, the not just what Jesus did, but how he did it. And so you are moved. I am moved, and I think people are when they are really embracing what happened. You're moved at the incredible sacrifice, and that prepares your heart to mourn, to you know, appreciate in deep ways what God did, and that also prepares your heart to celebrate that then he rose again. Mm. You know, that there was this miracle that happened at the end. So I think it's a preparing both for the sacrifice, but then a preparing for the meaning of resurrection and what that means to our faith every day now.
That's good. Yeah, we prepare our home when we're having company or when we're having a fancy dinner, mm-hmm. prepare ourselves when we're training for a marathon or when we're getting ready to go to a wedding or a concert. Mm-hmm. And this is a Lent is a spiritual preparing for really the or maybe one of the primary cataclysmic moments in the universe, the death of God's Son and the resurrection of God's Son.
Yeah, besides his birth, and which was obviously the same. But this is the at the foundation of our faith.
Yeah,
that this is what happened.
Yeah. So our hope is that and we're in good company to hope this, but that the spiritual fathers who have gone before us and for whom this has been spiritual mothers and fathers who have gone before us have. This was not just, you know, a fancy idea for a year, that this was a part of a regular part of the church calendar because our hearts, our bodies, our schedules, our minds need to be prepared.
Yeah.
So, well, hey, listen, if you're listening, I hope this has been encouraging to you in some way. I want to just make an offer to you. The devotional I talked about at the beginning by Bishop Robert Barron, if you want a copy of that, we have a limited number of copies here. And we'd be happy to send you one. So just to help your Lenten experience be more rich and deep, we'd be happy to send you one. But again, we have limited copies. So let us know you're listening. And we'd also just love for you to send in some questions or some topics you'd love us to talk about. So not a requirement to get the devotional, but let us know if you want one.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us this week on the Regeneration Podcast. Please make sure to visit our website at regenerationministries.org, where you can subscribe to the show in Apple or Google Podcasts and even Spotify, so you'll never miss another one. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on Apple Podcasts, or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out a lot. Thanks so much for listening. We look forward to being with you again next week.